Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
David Muhammad.
Yes, sir, brother. David, alhamdulillah. How are you there, brother?
I'm fine. Thanks be to Allah.
I know that's right. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Brother Derek, I'm on.
Wa alaikum salam, brother D. How's it going, man?
Oh, man, we good.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir, brother. This is Brother Kareem. I'm engineering tonight. We had some technical difficulties at the top of the show. However, I've just about got everybody on the line. I'm waiting to bring, I keep trying to bring Brother Jihad in. And, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jihad. You there? Okay. Oh, boy. And then it keeps dropping, Brother Minister Tony Muhammad. Okay. Let me. If I can get up. How is the fruit tonight, sir?
Oh, man, alhamdulillah, fine by Allah's grace and permission, man. And yourself, Brother Kareem?
I'm fine, all praises due to Allah. They were quit messing with my board.
But I'm like Mama said back in, like Mama said, man, when you want to do something good, you always be trying to see if you really want to do it, man.
That's right.
Absolutely, that's correct.
So,
what I'm going to do is now, since they want to play, and while we're
brother,
together.
Brother Kareem?
Yes, sir.
Brother Tony just texted me. He said that he's in on the line. It's a 954 number, and that he
got it.
Pressed 1.
I got him. I'm making this mic live now. So, I'm looking, Brother Tony. Brother Tony? Okay, I just made
Can you hear me
loud.
Now? Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, we can hear you.
I feel like a Verizon man.
All right. Okay, I keep making Brother Jihad's mic live. I'm not getting any response, so what I'm getting ready to do is call him on my other phone, see what's going on here. I had everything set up, and then right at the top of the show, they decided they want to flip out. I got you on the board. I keep trying to make your mic live, and it keeps kicking up.
I'm calling in and press 1.
Yes, sir. All praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'm waiting. All right, y'all heard that, I'm sure. But he's going to call in. As soon as he gets on here, then we can roll on, because nothing stops the mighty FOI.
That's right.
Okay. Make sure I'm... All right. Yeah, I know for myself, all right, here we go.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant. I greet the listening audience tonight, those by internet and by phone, with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Dear listening audience, I just want to give an apology to you real fast. We've had some technical difficulties just before the show went on air, and I deeply apologize for that. But nonetheless, we are all here, and so let's get on with our program tonight. Let's see who's at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks. Is our brother, student minister, local minister from Houston, Texas, Brother Eric Muhammad, on the line?
Brother Eric is on, but I'm the student assistant minister. Not the local. Yes, sir.
All right, sir. Let's make that plain. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir. And I'm glad to have you on tonight, sir.
Oh, I'm glad to be on, my dear brother.
Thank you. Also, is our brother, the assistant minister down in Miami, Florida. He's one of the brothers who really helped to boost this show. Every time he comes on, the ratings go high, and I get so many compliments about our brother. Is our brother, Student Minister Tony Muhammad from Miami, on the line tonight?
And that's Student Assistant Minister. And all praise is due to Allah. Yes, I am on the line, dear brother.
Praise be to Allah. Good to have you back on, Brother Tony.
All praise is due to Allah. It's good to be back.
Now, let's see if we can get this one right. Protocol, Student Protocol Director and Assistant Minister in Milwaukee.
Yes,
Soldier. Student Assistant Minister David Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum,
yes,
sir.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Jahan, brother.
How are you tonight, sir?
I'm fine. Thanks be to Allah. I'm glad to be back on with the brothers.
Praise be to Allah. And also another brother that's on the line, this is his first time on the line with us tonight, from the Ministry of Justice in Houston, Texas, Brother Derek Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum salam, dear brother. I'm honored to be on, and thank you so much for having me.
Brother, I'm honored to have you on, sir. I'm honored to have you on. Brother Derek, let me start with you, sir. What is it that you're doing down in Houston, Texas?
Well, with the help of Allah, we're doing quite a bit down here in Houston. But I think specifically you're talking about the new Black Male Initiative.
Yes, sir.
Allah has blessed us to launch called Project Forward. And Project Forward is a citywide Black Male Initiative where we focus on stopping the violence, creating economic development, and standing for justice. The primary role of Project Forward is to bring as many black men together under one umbrella and under one banner as possible citywide. And we're doing it, of course, in the spirit of the Million Man March. So keep us in your prayers, brother.
I sure will, sir, and thank you. Let me go around the panel. Let me start with Brother Eric first. Brother Eric, you know, we've got a lot of division going on in our communities, as you well know, nationwide. What are some of the things that you see that's a major concern that needs addressing right away?
Well, as Isam Lakum and peace be unto you through the listening audience, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. You know, dear brother, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was asked a question about in Mexico, and he said, what would we teach? If you were to teach in Mexico, he said, I would teach you the exact same thing that is being taught here. So it is absolutely, you know, the knowledge of self that needs to be taught because we are flesh of each other's flesh. We are bone of each other's bone. But it is lacking, we are one family, and it's lacking the knowledge of ourselves, the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of the enemy that really keeps us divided from one another. Allah says to us in the Quran that, O mankind, surely we have created you from a male and female and made you into tribes and families that you may know one another. You know, so when we look at that, I asked one of my students the other day as I was teaching them Arabic, I asked, if we were made into one family, if we were made into tribes and families, then what would be that thing that would bring us into one ummah? You know, and she said, teach the same thing. So in the Arabic lesson, what even though they're broken into families, but when you put the vowel mark over each one of them, you know, they make them into one ummah, having one sound. So it is absolutely the knowledge of ourselves.
Okay, yes, sir. Brother Tony, what say you, sir? What are some of the things that you see that needs addressing that's a major concern that's causing great division?
Well, let's go to the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, my beloved brother. On April 13th, 1997, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was on Meet the Press. This is over 15 years ago. And in that interview by Tim Russert, Tim Russert asked, he stated, you told the Washington Times a few years ago, we have no hope that we can effect true recognition between blacks and whites in this country. The answer ultimately is going to be separation. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan replied, it appears that way America right now is faced with the same problem that it faced in the the 1860s with Abraham Lincoln. You have a country, a great nation, but it is divided. So at that time, it was North and South. And in the middle of that divide was the question, what are we going to do with slavery? Today, America is suffering the same problem, the racial divide. And in the center of that, what are we going to do about justice for the black and the red and the brown? So there, Brother Jihad, we find justice. What kind of justice are we experiencing? Are we gaining in this country? We are not experiencing any form of justice in this country. The educational system is obsolete. In the fall of America, it states about, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad goes into that division, that at a certain point, even white people would reject the educational system itself because it is obsolete. Our own children are rebelling from the educational system of this country. We have no other reason other than to separate from the United States. We have no other way to gain any true form of justice. And so right now, if America does not perform any serious, I would not even say reforms, but a drastic change, these divisions will continue to fester. In the election of Barack Obama, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated that that election brought the very best out of some white people, but also brought the very worst out of some other white people. And so we find America divided, still among racial lines. Even among ourselves, in the black, in the Native American, in the Latino community, so-called Latino communities, we find division among ourselves because we truly, as Brother Eric just mentioned right now, we lack the knowledge of ourselves, individually, collectively, within our own groups. And so this absolutely needs addressing at this hour.
Okay. Brother David, I'm going to ask you the same question, and then we're going to get with solutions after we come from Brother Derek. But Brother David, what say you?
First off, the last few comments have been very beautiful, and they brought something to mind in my study about, you know, how in the last days, that it would be in the days of the Son of Man, it would be like the days of Noah. And you have a man who has been preaching to us in our midst for nearly 60 years. And he's the extension of one who taught him, who has been preaching since 1934. And there's been a warning in America since 1930 about the end of this wicked system of things, and that the end of it would mean the rise of us as a people who had been oppressed by it, but we would have to come into the knowledge of self and come into unity with each other and submission to the one God to come out of it. So we've been hearing a call for over 80 years now, and people have, you know, they accuse the nation and accuse us oft times of, y'all were saying the same thing in the 60s, or we heard the same thing in the 70s, and, Farrakhan been preaching that forever. Well, the warning has not changed because the threat has not changed. In fact, it has only worsened. So when you see the division and the death and destruction in our communities, it is a result of having rejected right guidance that came from the Lord of the worlds. And so now the chastisement that the people mocked the one who was given that message for, just like they did Noah, the chastisement that they thought was a far-off thing that they said would, you know, they laughed and scorned him. No, now it's here. And now we see a government shutdown. Now we see a great, you know, upheaval of the world in terms of its relationship to America. We are witnessing that which the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught. He said about America's loss of friendship. He said that America's satellites would take the gifts, but they would not want the friendship or allegiance with America. You see Europe abandoning America. You see the entire world turning its back on this government whose corruption is being fully manifest before the world. And so when we talk about what's going on in the community, we have to look at the mind of the rulers of this world and how it has trickled down even to the poor brother and sister on the block, and how that type of thinking of self-destructive behavior is really the root cause of what we are experiencing, and it is our rejection of that right guidance that comes from God through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that has got us suffering the way we are. We heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we did not come together in the way we should, and the question is, will we do better under the voice of his top student?
Beautiful. Thank you, sir. Brother Derek, what say you, sir?
Well, I believe that there are many causes of division in our community. The word that comes to mind first and foremost is the word principle. One of the things that we're trying to do with Allah's help with Project Forward is to reestablish some of the basic core principles of community building, the principle of each one teach one. We have to get back to that. We have to get back to the basic principle of spending the black dollar in the black community and not elsewhere, just basic principles. And underneath each principle is a spiritual principle. And we live in a nation that has gotten away from spiritual principles. So you have individuals who have gotten away in the same way. And that transforms into the family, then into the community, then into the city, into the state, ultimately into the nation. And what we have is a moral decay that is causing the fall of America. And moral decay is what causes disunity. I'm going to say it again. Moral decay causes disunity. Because when we are not singing from the same principal sheet of music, we're all over the place. So there's a chant that we have that says that the devil got, now Muhammad got the devil on the run. The way Muhammad gets the devil on the run and keeps the devil on the run is sticking to principles. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that there's a new world coming in as the old world is going out. And he even teaches us that there would be a new Islam and that we in the Nation of Islam are ushering in a new Islam. And Brother Derek, I'm just trying to be one of those little ushers. I just want to be a little usher to usher in the new world with the help of Allah. But he taught us that the principles of Islam would not change. So if the principles of Islam won't even be different in the hereafter, then what does that say about the power of living a principled life? So I believe, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us, he said that our people cannot have economic development until we have been again raised morally. So we have to teach righteousness. We have to be examples of righteousness. We have to be examples of men who are pleasing to God. And in that state, we set the stage for the kind of unity that God would smile on and that we could carry out of this world and into the next one. Anything else will continue to cause the disunity that we're seeing today.
Okay. All right. Well, then, okay. Let me go to Brother Eric then. Let me take point number 12, the last paragraph. I'll read the whole thing, but it's the last paragraph that I want to focus in on because Brother talked about principle, and we talked about being able to teach a message that's going to be able to unify. Listen to this. We believe that Allah God appeared in the person of Master W. Farad Muhammad, July 1930, the long-awaited Messiah of the Christians and the Mahdi of the Muslims. We believe further and lastly that Allah is God and besides him, no God, will bring a universal peace wherein we all live in peace together. My question becomes to Brother Eric, sir, where are we right now in terms of this becoming a reality? Do you see this coming into existence now? And if so, can you explain to us how do you see this?
Oh, absolutely, dear brother. Alhamdulillah. When Minister Farrakhan was in Houston a couple of years ago, he said to us, if you don't know how Muhammad, the prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, did it, you won't know how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is doing it today. When you look at the life of the prophet, and in Hart, Professor Hart wrote a book that said the most successful man in the last 6,000 years, he said, was Prophet Muhammad. Just going on a point that my brother Derek was talking about in terms of the principles, in terms of the universality of Islam, that he will unite, the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, will unite religion, if you will, the theology of Islam inside or involved inside of a secular world. When you look at the condition of the Arabs, and over a period of 23 years, he brought them out of that condition. And then over a period of 300 years after his death, he said, three generations after me will no longer be of me. So at 300 years later, you find Islam at 932 A.D., you find Islam has taken over all of the known world at that particular time. So when you come into the present time, and when the minister said to us that if you don't know how the prophet did it 1,400 years ago, then you don't know how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is doing it today. And when you look at the character of Muhammad, he was known as Al-Amin. He was known as the faithful. When you look at the life of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when you look at his life and knowing where he came from, and he establishing Islam and bringing many into the fold of Islam. And then it says in the Quran that David had a coat of many colors. So when you begin to look at the universality of Islam, and then the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan calling for Muhammad's economic blueprint. And when we were going door to door yesterday with the FOI, I came across a Latino brother, knocked on his door, and I began to explain to him and talk to him about the economic blueprint. And he absolutely understood that. There's something about, you know, poverty that unites people. You know, we start talking about money, you know, it unites people. So he absolutely understood when I asked him to go to economicblueprint.org and donate 5 cents, 5 cents a day, you know. So he understood that. He understood exactly what I was talking about. And also within that, dear brothers, Allah says to us in the Quran, he says that, and he united their hearts, and had you spent all that is in the earth, you could not have united the hearts, but Allah united them. And Allah also says in the Quran that he united the hearts of the believers, of people with Islam, and has made it forbidden to become separated in his clear book. So when we come to the same page and looking at that universality of Islam, then you begin to see the shared vision. So my brother at the door, my Latino brother at the door, he began to see the shared vision. He began to recognize the credibility of that particular, of that vision of Muhammad's economic blueprint. He also began to talk about how he was going to be an advocate as well of it. So he became motivated. He became inspired to be a part of it. So when you take that program, when you take that unity, when you take the example of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, when he went to Russia and they deterred his plane, but when he got there, he was met by white Muslims. You see? He was met by our white Muslim brothers. So when you begin to look at the universality of Islam and the program of Allah, who is the all in all, who is the united, when we stay right in that line and do things within his name, as we see, then, beloved brother, we would get the same results that I got just the other day talking with my brother. And that's just one small example. And there's many, many examples. If you look throughout the Nation of Islam, you just don't see black in the Nation of Islam. You see? So when we begin to unite around those core principles, as my brother Derek stated, then you'll begin to see the reality of God, because we would do it in his name. Because we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We say that in his name. And Allah is the all in all. He is the universe. He is everything. So when we do it in his name, we absolutely see it.
Okay. Brother Tony, let me come to you here, sir. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in 1977 started to rebuild the work of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but there were scales that had to be removed from his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And the, one of the scales that had to be removed with the fourth level, I want to particularly talk to you about and then have you comment on this. He said in removing the fourth scale, he said, I had to have that scale removed. My heart had to be expanded, and God had to allow me to see how to loosen the knot in the language of the revelation of Master Farad Muhammad to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that that word that seemed so nationalistic in its first expression could be made universal in this expression, that all of humanity could find refuge under the branches of this tree that started from the mustard seed of faith. Brother Tony, let me ask you, sir, do you see that we have a ways to go yet with our language in the nation as far as exclusivity to the Nation of Islam?
Yes, sir, dear brother, and that's an excellent question and excellent point to bring up all the quote from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in terms of universality. Yes, we have a long way to go. I remember when I registered in the Nation of Islam, I emailed a student minister, at that time Minister Rasul Muhammad. He was the regional minister for the 7th region. And I was very excited. I emailed him. I told him in the email, Brother Minister, I'm registered. And he was in Mexico at the time. And he replied, I'm so glad that you have made the decision to help free the minds of our people. We say that it's going to take, this is going to happen in a very short period of time, but in actuality, it'll take at least 1,000 years to undo the damage that has been caused on our people. So this, we have a long ways to go. We do not recognize our brothers and sisters as our brothers and sisters. We've been all divided up into different countries by way of the transatlantic slave experience, and much more than that, with our isolated thinking, no matter where we are in the Western Hemisphere. Even though we may have an auntie that we don't know about living in Venezuela, or a cousin living in the Dominican Republic, or another cousin living in Haiti. We have an auntie living in the Bahamas or in Cuba, but we don't recognize them as being our brothers and sisters. We do not recognize them as being kin. We don't recognize them as being relatives. We have become all divided up, and in our own thinking of exclusivity here, many times you would hear those of us in the Nation of Islam that encounter some of our so-called Latino family, if you will. They might refer to them as, how you doing, black man? We might use that kind of expression. That might not be where the brother may be in his mind. They may not view himself as being black. Some of our brothers and sisters in the Caribbean, that may not be their language. So we have to find a way that we are able to bond with our brother or sister in a way, and we're using a language that they'll be able to recognize. And it does not water down the teachings. Brother Eric mentioned earlier that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that when asked, I believe, by Mother Tainetta Muhammad, what would be taught to our people in Mexico. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we would teach the same teachings. It doesn't mean that the teachings would be taught the exact same way. We have to take into account the culture, the cultural background of whoever we're teaching. the way that, and also we have to take into account the time in which we are living in. What was effective back in the 1950s or the 1960s or even in the 90s or in, you know, maybe even 5 years ago, maybe. The language may not, we have to know exactly what is on the minds of the people. We have to know what they're interested in, what kind of music they're listening to, what activities they're engaged in, so that we will be able to find a way to talk to them in a way that is appealing and is also attractive to their ear. We will gain much more respect by staying current in our expression and finding new ways of getting their attention. By just simply using a catchphrase that may have been used for 20 years, you know, for the past 20 years, that might not grab their attention. Just go into the teachings and find something in the teachings that would be congruent to something that they're accustomed to, and you'll find that we would be more effective doing in attracting them.
Beautiful, beautiful. Brother David, I'm going to come to you here and also Brother Derek on this point. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says, here I am at the dawn of a universal assignment. Now that the scales are being removed from my eyes on a fourth level. Now Jibril says to him, he asks us the question, he says, such wisdom may help one look deeper in how weak believers and even hypocrites serve strong believers, who may in turn be able to help them into belief and maybe even strong belief before it's too late. Before going into the second part of this question, please briefly comment on these words of Jesus. He says, I have other sheep, not of this fold. Jesus teaches none of those people, the scholars call Jews. That was for Paul to do. Jesus knew this before he departed. The answer the minister gave is this. He said Jesus was giving Paul a base in his teaching to argue with those recalcitrant Jews who wanted Jesus and the message of the kingdom to be confined to them. They wanted exclusivity of Jesus and the kingdom. Therefore, Paul had to fight against this spirit of recalcitrance, exclusivity, and vanity in the people of the first phase of the mission of Jesus Christ. Therefore, Jesus had to leave for Peter, Paul, words that they could use as a foundation for going after those sheep that were not of that original fold. Brother David, what say you?
Oh, man. You know, I got to laugh every time you throw a question like that, brother, because it's so profound. But
yes, sir.
You know, you're looking at God's servant, and the, you know, in the Quran it says it like this, that the sun shines on the wicked and the just equally. It shines on them both. And so this is truth that has to affect the entire world. And here you have a people who are so attention-starved that now God gives us a man, and he's using that truth that is like a sword to beat up on the people that have put us in this condition for so long, and so we become covetous of him, and then he starts expanding the language or expanding the breath. In our lessons, we're taught about baby language. How do you teach a baby? You teach them shapes and colors, right? So you give them basic ways of discernment. So you tell a child, don't talk to strangers. Now you're dealing with the entire world, and you have to have a mind of discernment. Mm. And the followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, while they engaged with the world, they did it from a perspective that was very clear, because the white man was our open enemy. He is our open enemy still in many respects, although there are some whites who will do good under certain circumstances. But it was clear to know who the enemy was. And so it was easier to rally our people and rally those who did not consider or were not considered white to our cause. But now we're talking about language and the knot in the tongue. There's several knots that needed to be explained further, which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has done successfully. But even the language of, you know, you don't know your name, you don't know your history, the white man, the white man, the white man, at a certain point, let's be honest, that has lost its effect on our people. I'm talking about, when I say our people, I confuse folks because I'm part of what is considered so-called Latino, but you would have to say, honestly, even that language that we were using in the early 90s and the 80s, it's not as effective as it was with the minds of black people who have encountered those from all over the world and in many respects have seen their number one enemies to be people that look just like them. So we have to really use this wisdom to get at the root cause of our suffering as oppressed people, as black people here in the wilderness of North America, as the darker people or the aboriginal people here throughout the hemisphere. And it really comes by, as Brother Derek stated earlier, lifting up the principles. What are those principles of freedom, justice, and equality? See, that's something that everybody wants. Every person wants. And in truth, if what we teach is the knowledge of self, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the enemy, and the knowledge of the time, then white people need a knowledge of self too. Those of us who went to Tuskegee last weekend and we saw those poor, pathetic bikers, these ain't, you know, they're the enemy, but they're not the capital enemy. They weak, wicked, and dumb. So they don't even have a true knowledge of who the enemy is, and they're angry that one of ours is in the seat of power in the White House and that Muslims are now doing things in America. But they don't have a true understanding of who's taking this country over. And when that kind of knowledge gets shared to them, see, that's why they fear Farrakhan, because he makes sense. No one can accuse him of having not given a plain delivery of the message. And that's all that the messengers of God have been charged to do, which is a clear delivery of the message. And so they do everything they can do to obstruct the message from reaching the people. But some of us don't do him any service because we represent this message in a very emotional or unintelligent or unclear way to the masses of the people, the thinking of the people in the modern time. We have to speak the present, perfect, future tense of this wisdom.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Brother Derek, let me ask you again, since the minister has expanded his breast, he's there as far as I'm concerned. He is there. If you listen to the language that he uses and how the people of the planet receive him now. But now my question becomes to you, how do we apply the wisdom of the teachings that it includes all people? I mean, I know you're on the front line. How do you think that this can be done?
Well, our supreme wisdom teaches us that big seals await the wide awake man. And when you think you're awake, I'll just say it like that, and you step out into the big seal, then you realize how big the seal really is and how awake you really have to be if you're going to take advantage in the way of our assignment. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has most definitely, without a doubt, fulfilled the scripture of being he who is in the role of Joseph, having the coat of many colors. He has done that. And I believe that the mentality of a Jew, the mentality of exclusivity, applies probably more to us who are in the nation of Islam than it does to our poor people who don't know where the next loaf of bread may be coming from. And so the minister teaches us in Closing the Gap that when you're going through a period of transition, and I believe we are in a period of transition, he says that it's very dangerous. For when you go through a period of transition, you are not what you were, and you are not what Allah is making you to be. You kind of sort of in the middle. So we have to learn how to put the minister's role in context, and we have to know what role we play within the purview of his role. You know, when we see Minister Farrakhan get off of an airplane in Russia and he's greeted by white Muslim and they're unsheathing their swords and hugging him and to wisdom on him and sacrificing whatever they sacrifice for the minister, this is a beautiful thing. But we can't look at that and cause it or make it to look, make us to look down on our people who live in the projects down the street. We still have to remember where our primary mission is. Master Farad Muhammad wants to build a new world. And the man that he came and chose to build a new world was one of us. He wasn't Russian. He was not the European. And I hope you brothers understand what I'm trying to say. There's something very, very, very valuable in the black man and woman in America that Master Farad Muhammad wants. And all I'm saying is that we have to think globally, but we still have to execute locally. Minister Farrakhan said that I want you to study and I want you to train so that someday you can qualify yourself to be sent into some of these countries to be emissaries to the nation. But I believe that the big event, the main event, that event that would be the catalyst to bring in the new world is going to take place right here in America. And as the scripture teaches us, you know, the bottom will be placed on top. The rejected stone would be made into the head cornerstone. And that old piece of wood that was thrown away by the world, that piece of wood is going to be what Allah uses to build his new world. He's talking about black people in America. That has not changed. So I think that we have to be very, very careful and understand that we're in a period of transition and that we have to qualify our role in the minister's growth, his global growth, and his global assignment. We are here to help him. That's what we were born to do. But if we think globally and we execute locally, I think the work that we do locally will be what qualifies us to be sent out globally as emissaries to the Nation of Islam. I hope I answered your question, brother.
Yes, sir, brother. Yes, you did, Brother Derek, and thank you, sir. We're talking about, listening audience, we're talking about healing a nation divided. And so you really can't heal something if you don't know what the problem is that needs to be healed. And so this is why we're taking, this is really going in depth tonight. But you brothers are more than equipped to handle this. Brother Eric, let me come to you here, and we're talking about this, evolving the message, because we already know what the problems are in America. We already see America's falling. We already know that the solutions that America has to offer are not the solutions that's going to save America. They have an expiration date on their world. We understand that. So what we're talking about tonight, listening audience, is what we can do to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan usher in a new world. And this is where we are so far tonight. Brother Eric and Brother Tony, let me come here. Peter started to evolve the message of Jesus and feed it to the Gentiles, while before the message was exclusively toward the Jews. The Jews felt that Peter was stepping out of line of where he should go. But Peter was the transition to Paul. Praise be to Allah. So it is with Brother Farrakhan. I am not what I was. I am not yet what Allah God desires me to be. Brother Eric, what say you to this?
Yes. Dear brother, when we look at Islam, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that Islam is everything. Islam is everything. So when we begin to look at, as Brother Derek was stating, our role, and each student must qualify his or herself for positions awaiting them. And when we look at serving, because one-third, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, was for another fella. Two-thirds was for him, which represents two-thirds of the Meccan chapters in the Holy Quran. So in Mecca for 13 years, the Muslims were not allowed to fight. So you have a certain language that is being spoken in the Meccan chapters. But after he made his flight, Muhammad made his flight from Mecca to Medina, this is where you begin to establish the government of Islam. So when you look at the minister evolving the language and spreading out, when Muhammad went into Medina, it was predominantly, it was Jews in Medina. It wasn't all Arabs like you have in Mecca. So he developed a charter in Medina. And that particular charter that he developed, Clause 21 of that charter reads, conditions must be fair and equitable for all alike. Now, just imagine for 13 years in Mecca you couldn't fight. And Muhammad was showing his enemies, or showing those who opposed him, you know, because his job was to establish Islam. His job was to bring people to the fold of Islam, which is everything. So at the Treaty of the Hudaybiyah, you know, his companions were angry because they asked him to scratch out Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, that scratch it out, because scratching out don't determine if I'm the messenger of Allah or not. Allah knows where to place his message. Allah knows who the messenger of Allah. So our hearts have to evolve as well with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as he's reaching out, you know, to the human family. You see, we were given Dianetics. How did many people respond? I am a Dianetic auditor. Certified. I followed the words of the minister. They were predominantly, they were Caucasian, white. But we have to understand that at the evolving of the message, evolving of humanity, it's not so rudimentary based upon just color alone. We understand the grasping. We understand all of these things. But the minister's job and role is now to take humanity and take humanity to its ultimate level. And if they reject it, then that's on them. But his job is to spread Islam throughout the world.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, before we close out this first hour, I've got to get this in to Brother Tony. I'm more concerned about our role, Brother Tony, and what we do to help our people, because that's what we do. Our sole purpose is to deliver to the Lamb of God. But if we don't know what we're supposed to be doing, then we have a problem. So this is why we're taking it here tonight. Listen to these words. The nation in following me is not what it was, and it is not what it is destined to be. So the minister and the nation are in transition. Brother Derek just talked about this. During this period of transition, those who watch the man in transition may have a tendency to be judgmental. They are not sure of where he is. They are not sure of where he is going. The only thing they understand is where they were and the level of comfort they had where they were. This can sentence them to stand where they were, then misjudge the man in transition before he gets to where Allah, God, wants him to go. This disallows them to travel with the man who is in transition. Therefore, they stop in the process of growth toward perfection, and the process of death begins for the individual or the group. Brother Tony, what say you, sir? Is our brother still here?
Can you hear me now? I'm sorry.
I can hear you now, sir. I'm sorry. Maybe it was me, but I can hear you now.
No. That was me.
Okay.
that was me that time. What comes to mind is Allah referencing in the Holy Quran the parable of the Moses' travels with the wise man. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that in this parable, Moses represents the people. In the parable, the wise man that Moses travels with, that he is constantly impatient with. And the wise man tells him that you cannot travel with me because you are impatient and does not see the fullness yet of where that wise man is taking him. So the wise man pokes a hole into the boat. Like, and Moses is there flipping out. Well, why are you poking a hole into the boat? And then other scenarios that took place that Moses there just flipping out. In the end, the wise man explains to him the reason why he did it. Those of us in the Nation of Islam may not, many of us may not understand yet why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan tuned us into a wonderful study called Dianetics to free us of the impediments that are weighing on us due to past painful experiences. And those past painful experiences are not just do not just correspond to the time that we ourselves have been living in our respective bodies. We have been carrying pain with us for the past 400, 500 years throughout the United States of America, throughout the Caribbean, throughout Latin America, because the pain that is felt in the cell, those cells are passed down generation after generation. And so what has been done to us through the methodology of Willie Lynch in terms of division, viewing some of our brothers and sisters as better because they may have lighter skin or curlier hair or wavier hair or straight hair.
Mm-hmm.
That has carried on generation after generation of because of the pain, because of all of the abuse that we have experienced all over the Western Hemisphere. And so the root of our division is as a result of the ignorance that we have suffered in slavery and colonialism everywhere, and it's also tied in with the pain that we have experienced. So are we going to just immediately judge what the minister is tuning us into because we don't understand it, or we're going to take the time to study it more so that self can advance further into what the man of God in our midst today seeks for us to become, and that's for us to become reproduced as Master Farad Muhammad deposited what was in him into the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and began that culture of reproduction. Likewise, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad depositing what was in him and is in him into the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan wants to deposit what is in him in us. If we are just to stay the course, then we will see the reproduction of God in us as we have seen it being reproduced in these mighty men in our midst.
Praise be to Allah. Brother Kareem, we're going to give the panel a five-minute pause for the cause. We got a testimony report, and then we're going to come right back and go right into part two of our program tonight. So, Brother Kareem, let's go on and do our testimony report tonight. This is the story of a young man, soldier by the name of Gregory X. Moore of Pennsylvania. In the 1970s, Brother Gregory was a young man on the streets of Philadelphia. Like most of our young soldiers, he was influenced by life on the streets. Brother Gregory got caught up in the life of crime, and in 1979, he received a 30 to 60 year sentence in prison. While in prison, he began to study the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, which at that time was against rules of the prison. But in 1981, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan wrote two letters, one to the superintendent of the prison
And the second letter was to the prison commissioner of the state of Pennsylvania. Well, in 1983, which was 2 years later, the state of Pennsylvania recognized the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and allowed for official services of the Nation of Islam in the prisons in the state of Pennsylvania. Well, Brother Gregory became the prison reform minister and served 33 years sentence out of 60 years. He got out of prison in 2011, and he got married to a beautiful MGT, and is now serving as the student prison reform minister for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for the Delaware Valley region, helping others in prison to restore their lives. Original salute to Brother Gregory X. Moore for his service and example to others. And this is Brother Gregory X.'s testimony. A follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Where Muhammad has got the devil on the run this week with the final call news. Yes, soldiers want to know what's going on out there in the battlefield. Well, let's go down to Richmond, Virginia. That's right, soldiers in Richmond, Virginia. And the soldiers in Richmond, Virginia got their boots on the ground with the final call news. Shout out, soldiers. Dallas, Texas. Yes, Muhammad's got the devil on the run with the final call news in Dallas, Texas. Shout out, soldiers. Charlotte, North Carolina. The soldiers in Charlotte got their boots on the ground with the final call news. Shout out, Charlotte. Baltimore, Maryland. Yeah, soldiers in Baltimore, and the soldiers in Baltimore got their boots on the ground. Shout out, soldiers. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Muhammad's got the devil on the run with the final call news in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Shout out, soldiers. San Diego, California. Yeah, soldiers in San Diego out there with Minister U, Muhammad. And the soldiers got their boots on the ground in San Diego. Shout out, soldiers. Oakland, California. Yeah, the soldiers in Oakland got their boots on the ground with Brother and Student Minister Keith Muhammad. Shout out, soldiers. But our number one goes to the state of Alabama, the entire state, Birmingham, Montgomery, Tuskegee, Selma, Tuscaloosa, Mobile. Shout out, soldiers. Fast moving, fast thinking, right down to the modern times. Shout out, soldiers. Keep up the good work. The soldiers in Alabama locked down the Holy Day of Atonement. Keep up the good work, soldiers in Alabama. We see you. To all the soldiers, black, brown, Native American, Asian alike, now the doors of the fruit of Islam is open to you and to find the FOI training in your area. Just call the National Center in Chicago, Illinois at 773-324-6000. Come on in, soldiers, and let's build this mighty army of Allah.
Beautiful.
All right, is Brother Eric back on the line?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Oh, I got you now. Yes, sir. Okay, you good. All praise is due to Allah. Well, brothers, we're in the second hour now. And let me give, first of all, in this time and what must be done segment, I have got to give a shout-out and an original salute to our student, National Assistant Minister,
Minister Ishmael Muhammad. Wow. What a job for the last 2 weeks, brothers. What a job. The Holy Day of Atonement and Part 2, the Holy Day of Atonement. Let me go to Brother Eric, sir. Give me a talking point, sir, on the time and what must be done that sticks out to you right at this moment. And he got dropped again, Brother Kareem. Is our brother still there, Brother Eric? How about Brother Tony? Are you there, sir?
I'm here, dear brother.
Oh, yes, sir. Give us a talking point. So I think our brother may have got dropped off again.
Well, in respects to Student Minister Ishmael Muhammad, he has done a magnificent job in the place of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as he's recovering from the bacterial infection, and taking on the mantle of spreading the message that is so pertinent to this time in terms of purchasing farmland, in terms of investing our dollars into this initiative that will benefit self. If we are fearful of becoming involved in this initiative at this time, then truly we are not paying attention to what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been sharing with us. He's shared with us for the past couple of months how damaging the foods that we've been consuming all this time. In many cases, we know that they've been damaging, but to actually be told firsthand, you know, description by description as to what these so-called foods cause, all these additives and preservatives, all these genetically modified foods, what they cause in terms of cancer, what kind of effect they have on lab mice, what kind of effect they have on other animals when they test the food out on them. You know, we have to ask the question, well, what is it producing in us? Brother Ishmael Muhammad has done an excellent job in terms of continuing on in spreading the message from the time that we were in Tuskegee, going into the lecture, how producing something for self that is of value, how it goes a long ways. He made reference to how Booker T. Washington studied the children of Israel and how he was inspired by reading about the children of Israel becoming involved in brick making. And so he employed that same methodology Booker T. Washington did when it came down to black students there in Tuskegee, learning how to develop brick, sacrificing. And that's the key phrase right there, sacrificing. He didn't even have any money. I believe he pawned his watch just so that he could make that initiative begin. How much are we willing to sacrifice today to start up something for self, to begin the process for us to invest in food that we absolutely need at this particular time, that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been pointing us in that direction? How much are we willing to sacrifice? Well, if we do not sacrifice something, then truly we will go down health-wise and in other respects, just as others in this decaying civilization are experiencing loss.
Beautiful, beautiful. Brother Derek, sir, what say you? What sticks out at you, sir, on the time and what must be done?
Excuse me, did you ask Brother Derek?
Yes, sir.
I apologize, brother. My phone is beeping over here, so you're going in and out. Let me first echo what my brother Tony and yourself said about Minister Ishmael Muhammad. Minister Ishmael's powerful and beautiful representation of the message is a great example for us all, that mm-hmm. if the Nation of Islam is a cult that is based upon the charismatic personality of one man, then we don't really have a future. For if this is a one-man show, then when the one man is no longer among us, then the show will not go on. So I think that we should study his example as one for us all to take after, that even when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is not physically present, Allah has placed in us the ability to represent the message of his apostle. Now, throughout the entire series of lectures of the time and what must be done, what I have heard is the truth that has the power to break the enemy's power. But at the same time, it has the power to give us the tools that we need in order to build the world that is coming in. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught that a rising force, when it clashes with a falling force, always breaks apart and destroys the falling force. So as the enemy is falling, we have to speed up the process of resurrection so that the rise of our people, when it clashes with its the enemy's fall, it will overpower it. But the economic blueprint to end poverty and want, I believe that is the talking point that we all must be on right now.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it solidifies who the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan really is from Scripture. For in the Holy Quran, it will talk that Jesus would teach us what to eat and what to store in our homes. And in the Bible, Jesus tells his disciples that they must feed the people, and that inasmuch as you have not done this unto the least of these, my brethren, you have also done it unto me. So much is going on with this economic blueprint, but on a practical level, America is falling. All of her systems are going down. And when you look at every system that's falling, from the political system to the economic system to the food industry, you know, everything is just going to hell. Well, Minister Farrakhan is teaching us how to survive in every last one of these arenas. So I look at the term economic blueprint, and I look at that word blueprint and how it relates to young people. When they see the term blueprint, they think of the album by the great brother rapper Jay-Z, who just happens to be embroiled in a controversy. About, you know, these brothers in New York City, they're going to shop in these department stores. This one brother, he bought a $350 Ferragamo belt, and NYPD pulled him over, stopped him, cuffed him up, took him to jail, accused him of stealing, and the brother had actually paid for the merchandise. And I totally agree. You should be able to shop where you want without being harassed by the police.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans are rightfully putting pressure on Jay-Z to sever his relationship with this department store. But I think the real truth that Minister Farrakhan is trying to teach us will come out in the wash of this particular situation. First of all, we have to ask ourselves the question, why in the hell is a brother who is a college student who works on campus buying a $350 Salvatore Ferragamo belt in the first place? The sister who said the same thing happened to her went into the same store and spent $2,500 on a purse. And so, yes, pressure needs to be put on Jay-Z, because it has to be exposed that even he is under their power.
Right.
But I think the real question has to be asked, or the real point needs to be made, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. Never go into a place where you are not wanted, number one. And number two, I think that this petition drive needs to be redirected toward the principles of the economic blueprint, because our young people have to understand that your identity cannot be found on an emblem on the belt buckle that somebody charged you $350 for. Barney's don't care nothing about black folk. Salvatore Ferragamo cares nothing about black people. Chanel and all of these other people that we pay these outrageous dollars in order to sport their gear, they don't care nothing about us. So I think a bigger conversation needs to take place, and the conversation needs to land right in the lap of this initiative, the economic blueprint. So I believe that the economicblueprint.org has to be that place where all roads lead to that. Because through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Allah is warning us that if we don't get our act together, we will continue to suffer loss. So the answer to your question in terms of talking points for the time and what must be done, I think that everybody needs to be on the same page of the economic blueprint. And when we see these little dust-ups in the media, like what's going on in New York with Jay-Z and this whole debacle, we have to find the right way to insert the answer, the solution, into all of this confusion. And in that particular instance, the solution is the economic blueprint.
That's right.
Beautiful. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Okay. Brother David, what say you, sir? 678, stand by. Get right with you. Same with your 919. Brother David, what say you, sir?
Well, you know, I think each one of us, after hearing the brothers and their commentary, the economic blueprint is something that we have to be busy in the promotion of to our people and seeing and making it relative to where they are at. In Milwaukee, black people have a spending power of $3.6 billion. And we haven't even begun to talk about that in combination with the Native American and the Latino community here. But if we just focus at that and look at the spending power, we're the fourth poorest city in the country. We're number one in terms of incarceration for black men. We're double the national average, and we're one of the highest in terms of rates of poverty, miseducation, STDs, et cetera. All of those benchmarks for suffering, black people in Milwaukee lead of the black people everywhere else in. And it's very troubling to see the condition, but we have to remind our people that they are not suffering for the lack of money. They're suffering for the lack of knowledge, and we're being destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And it's the rejection of that message that is sentencing our children to an early grave. So talking points, two of the key ones that were very significant to me were that this economic development fund is primarily for the purchasing of land, while at the same time is available for the financing of black institutions and for institutions that are in favor and support of our community. You look at the way that our neighborhoods have become food deserts. And here we are, I'm speaking to you from Milwaukee, where Will Allen has growing power. And part of the culture of the city is the establishment of urban gardens, urban farming, and that environment and that message has really taken root in this city. But we have all of these vacant lots and all of these homes. We have to get in the business of the distribution of quality food for all people all across the country from the various regions and what they produce, and at the same time do the same locally so that our people have food and are not suffering from famine, because indeed we are seeing that now in the urban centers. It's not food that they're eating, it's chemical death, and they're producing malnutrition. It looks like obesity. On the other end, again, making it relative to where I'm at, Milwaukee was once known for having the Black Holocaust Museum. And the Black Holocaust Museum was one of its kind in the country. When you drove through the city, you saw a big sign that the state had to put up America's Black Holocaust Museum. Well, that institution got into some financial trouble several years back, about a decade or more ago, and they had to seek philanthropic donations from guess who? The Jewish community. And they received donations and then were suddenly closed shortly afterwards. So we have to be about the business of building our own economic base through the economic blueprint so that our institutions don't have to suffer, so that when the schools are closed, we don't have to worry or depend on the city that is bankrupt. We can control the money. We can change the curriculum. And we can set and establish that which is fit for the minds that Allah is producing today. It starts with us purchasing land, which is the basis for all of our national development. And then it starts with us building institutions and distribution for us to take our intellectual capital and that which we produce to the global market.
Praise be to Allah. Absolutely. Brother Eric, sir, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. You hear me?
I can hear you now, sir. Give us a talking point from the time and what must be done, beloved. What say you?
You know, yes, sir. When you look at sliding a scripture underneath it, everything that was said, and the Honorable Minister with Farrakhan opened up the time and what must be done with Surah 103, entitled Al-Asr, the time. And what Asr actually means, the decline. That's the time that we make our evening prayer, but it's a decline of the sun. So when you're looking at the time that we're in, and Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that time is the calculation of motion. So Allah opens up this verse with saying, by the time, surely man isn't lost, except those who believe and do good and counsel one another for truth and counsel one another for patience. So when you think about this, the time and what must be done, and Tuskegee University, and looking at the atonement process, getting our people to understand that they must buy into the economic blueprint, because we are people that distrust one another. We are people that are totally divided against one another. But Allah is setting the circumstances that they are seeing now the truth in darkness. They are seeing now the clean glass next to the dirty glass. So our eyes are being opened up to the time and what must be done. When you look at just going through the atonement that we all must go through so that we can appreciate and come at the end of it, come to perfect union with God. And in that perfect union, we'll develop that trust that is there. One thing that the minister talked about when he was at Prairie View University, he talked about the cow, Surah 2, and he talked about everything that you can do with the cow, everything that you get from the cow, and just how valuable that cow is. And he talked about, you know, in that, he asked the question, how many of you at all of the HBCUs that he went, how many of you are studying agriculture? And only a few men went up. You see, so we have a lot of much work to do with regards to, you know, the economic blueprint, in regards to, you know, developing the trust, so that we will get the 16 million wage earners of our people to buy into it. You know, so as Brother Ishmael was laying out, regardless of all that was going on that particular day, as he said on Sunday, at the end of the day, you saw how beautiful Allah was guiding him with all of the difficulties that were facing him. So regardless of all of the difficulties that are facing us, Allah is with us. Allah desire, he said he came to make us into himself. So when you're talking about what must be done, it is absolutely uniting around the economic blueprint. Going on, brothers and sisters who are listening to the call, going on, taking our nickels, taking our dimes, our 35 cents a week, and contributing it to the economic blueprint, that we can show that we are one people, that we can come out of just talking about it, but now that we can absolutely be what it is that we're talking about, that we can absolutely implement the things that we know will set us free. You see, so I think the talking points, dear brother, again, I agree with my other brothers, is the economic blueprint. You know, and why is this important? Because the Census Bureau put out and said that 42% of black children are living in poverty. 42% of our children are living in poverty. When you begin to talk about, we here in Houston are doing a food co-op, Brother David. I'm glad you mentioned the food deserts. That's so important. And we developed a food co-op a year ago, you know, centered around and dealing with the time and what must be done. And going door to door, encouraging our people, passing out flyers and encouraging our people to come and participate in the Buyers Club, so that we can have the idea of what our unity looked like, as my brother Derek talked about, on a local level, what it looked like. And then we began to grow, we began to evolve, and as a people, we began to see ourselves as one people. But we can't just continue just to talk about it. You know, the talking points have to be being about going to that website, economicblueprint.org, clicking on it. You know, if you got PayPal, go through PayPal. If you don't, they say continue. Put in the amount of money that you desire to give. We're only asking $18 and I believe it's 20 cents a year, 35 cents a week, $1.40 a month. That needs to be our talking point.
Right.
And our action points.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, brother, student, Sister Minister Tony, I got something here for you. Brother Ishmael says that Farrakhan is the last man standing. What say
yes,
you?
Sir. He is the last man standing, and he wants us to stand up in this hour.
Come on.
If I may read from Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, it reads here, "When I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not warn them, excuse me, or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life. That wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood." Well, our people are not wicked people. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that their nature is righteousness. But even to the enemy, what have we been doing on Twitter when, as the Twitter army, those of us that have partaken in that, we've been sending out a message to the enemy, as well as our people on there. They've been tuning into our quotes from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and in some cases they've attempted to debate us. And in other cases, we fostered dialogue. In most cases, we fostered dialogue, which is exactly what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan wants. See, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, when he took on this mission, he vowed to the he vowed that he would take this message. He would take the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to every nook and cranny of North America. Well, today, he's taken the message to every nook and cranny of the planet Earth. And every nook and cranny is not just a geographical location on the earth, but we're dealing with minds here. And so I myself, even as a public school teacher during the day, as I teach public schools, I don't stay quiet in regards to what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has shared with us in a time of what must be done. I've been sharing the information that my students and their families must be privy to when it comes down to, especially when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was just breaking down the detrimental effects of sugar, especially white sugar, the detrimental effects of food coloring. I started going into a lot of the foods that my own students were consuming and alarming them to it. And I would tell them, go ahead and research it yourself. Brother Ishmael Muhammad showed us through his example that he is not himself when he takes the rostrum. He takes on the spirit of his teacher, the spirit of his father, so that he could guide us properly. He prays on Allah to give him guidance, as the minister does himself prior to teaching us. Well, we should do the same. And so what we are finding in our midst today is, through this beautiful example that student minister Ishmael Muhammad has laid down since the Holy Day of Atonement and in this past address last Sunday, which was part two of the Holy Day of Atonement address, he's showing us a beautiful example of how to align ourselves with our leadership. We may be working in different endeavors in life, but we could reach our people through working through those endeavors. We could reach our people if we are even truck drivers. You know, we with every person that we touch along the ways and driving in the streets of America and in the expressways of America, with every person that we meet, we drop little seeds of wisdom to them. If we are a secretary in an office, well, those in your immediate environment working, go ahead and feed them some wisdom every day. Feed them what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is teaching us in this hour. It is the right thing to do, and that is exactly the example that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan would want us to set in this hour.
Beautiful. Brother David, student Mr. Ishmael said in the Holy Day of Atonement, he says, Farrakhan has given us a vision that comes directly from God, a program that if we support it, we can secure our future. What say you, sir?
I agree with him 100%. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in just calling the 16 million working or employed black people in America to contribute to this, a brother pointed out to me the other day that the 16th chapter of the Holy Quran is the bee. So Farrakhan is calling on 16 million worker bees to start this process. And it just took me to the book of Judges and how the bees were making honey in the carcass of a lion. Well, America is a once great and mighty nation, but is now in its decline, as has been pointed out by Brother Eric. And we see America in a declining state of affairs, and all of those things that once made her great are being taken from her one by one like a decaying, decomposing body. But here we are in the midst of America, and we have an economic program that if we just put it into practice, we can do those things that are necessary to sustain national life. We need food, clothing, and shelter. We need to provide for our own. We need to establish a real community where the real currency is not paper with a dead white man's face on it, but it's trust. Trust earned through real brotherhood, through living out the principles that have been laid out in the divine scriptures and that which was given to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And this is something that all of our people can do, whether they consider themselves Muslim or not. This is something that we have to make a reality because, simply put, nobody is going to do anything for us until we get up and do something for our own condition. Scripture bears witness to that. The history bears witness to that, as it gave the example of Booker T. Washington and how they made the bricks, and how even those who were Caucasian were coming to buy the bricks. It was after those moves that you saw major foundations go after Tuskegee because they realized what black people were producing was superior to that which was produced by their own people. But they went for motive. It's on us now to do something for self and let Allah bring those gifts and those talents out of us that we can use for the benefit of all of us.
All praise is due to Allah. Brother Derek, are you still there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank Allah.
Yes, sir. Brother Ishmael says, we have got to stand up as men in order to gain the respect of men. Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the time and what must be done, put the command out there that he wants to open up the FOI class, training class, for all of our men now. How can we make this happen, sir?
I believe that in order for us to take the training that we've been given in the FOI and use it to train up the brothers and sisters in the community, that we have to be flexible enough to know that not everybody will come to the mosque. Islamophobia is as such in America that even our people have different levels of fear floating around in their heads and their hearts about Islam. But we are taught that if the mountain doesn't come to Muhammad, then Muhammad will do what? Go to the mountain.
Good
point. So I believe that the way for us to train our brothers is, the first and foremost, we have to make certain that we are training them in the right way. In other words, return to the basic principles of FOI training, just the basics, using the term brother, saying yes, sir, no, sir, respecting our women, respecting ourselves, looking the part, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us the example for 40 years, and just getting back to the training. And then we need to go where the training is needed most. You know, don't go to the suburbs. I mean, you can go there. You can end up there at some point. But go straight to the projects. And if you would go to, there's usually a committee there that is a community-based committee. They have a board. And if you sit down and you talk with them and you tell them that you want to come into the community to train young men to be civilized, well, my God, they'll probably fling the door open for you so wide that it will startle you. Our people want this. And so the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's call is absolutely timely. But we have to go to the people with what we have and begin to train black men in how to be better for themselves, their families, and their communities. So I think I answered your question, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I would like to extend that and expand the breast to all of our brothers in the community, whether they be what they, as Brother David likes to say, so-called Latino brothers as well. I think, you know, we need to open up now, expand our breast, and go after all of our people, black, indigenous alike. I agree, Brother Derek. Brother Eric, sir, let me say to you, sir, Brother Ishmael said that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Allah guided Minister Farrakhan to lead us to Tuskegee, for this is our genesis. What say you?
Yes, when you go back and look at the language of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, when he said that Tuskegee is a seminal fluid.
Mm-hmm.
When you look and go into building human potential, and where our great giants, stem from, throughout the Quran, you find the word sperm or the germ of life when it's talking about the development of the human being. You know, and going back to what did Booker T. Washington establish? You know, going back to the land. When you look at a comment that Booker T. Washington, a statement that Booker T. Washington made with regards to, he said, we must reinforce our arguments with results.
Mm-hmm.
When you begin to look at the genesis, the gene assist, go Mother Carnetta on you real quickly. You know,
yes.
When you begin to look at the beginning, you know, and in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, Allah gives us and we deal with land. When you go and look at Booker T. Washington and what they did in the development and making bricks and selling the bricks and building his home from those bricks, you deal with the cultivation of the land, you know? So we won't have life and life more abundantly without the Genesis, without the land. Now, that's on the physical level, but just taking us back to the just the whole idea of a new beginning and beginning new and developing a nation, going back to the Genesis, and we are the Genesis as a people. We are the original people. Minister Farrakhan said this in while in Trinidad. He said, the true development of a nation, and my brother, if you do not develop people, all the resource development goes for nothing. The real development is development of each citizen to the fullest of their potential. Then develop of the raw materials of the nation becomes easy when we have developed our citizenry. So when we're talking about going back to the beginning and Allah placing in the Genesis a man, and he told the man to go to work, to till the land. When you say in your prayer, Hayal al-Falah, Hayal al-Falah, the word Falah, they translate it as success, but it actually means to cultivate. It means to come alive to cultivation. So it takes us back to what? The Genesis. It takes us back to what? The land. And going to Tuskegee, being the seminal fluid, and when you release that into the womb, the word in Arabic for womb, it means Rahman. We say it all the time when we say Rahman or Rahim. It means a womb. So when that sperm is in its right place, the womb, not outside of its place, but in its right place, the womb, then now it connects to the egg. And the Quran calls it Surah 96, the clot, which is the first five verses revealed to Muhammad. It told him, Iqra, read in the name of our Lord. So, and Sister Ava said in the study guide that if one of us can't read, that's one too many. We got to go back to teaching our people the basics, the two things that we forgot how to do, the Genesis of reading and writing. So when you're talking about Tuskegee, it's just so deep and so profound with just the with just on a physical basis as well in terms of cultivating the land, and then just on the human development basis, you see, and how now our Genesis, and we're making a new Genesis right from that particular spot, Tuskegee, Alabama.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, brothers, we're coming. We're going to narrow it down now, but I have a question I definitely want to ask Brother Tony.
Yes,
and Brother David. Well, let me see. Do you have a talking point, Brother Tony, that you would like to share before I ask my question?
Well, I wanted to share a quote by Booker T. Washington's Brother Eric. Shared a quote, and I believe it matches up very well with our discussion this evening. Booker T. Washington was quoted as follows: I do not believe in waiting for the heaven of the future. If we imitate the life of Christ as nearly as possible, heaven will come about more and more right here on earth. And this is exactly what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is guiding us to right now. He found something, just as he found something in a tool. He found something in Dianetics. He found something in the teachings of Booker T. Washington that is congruent with the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and it is digestible to people that may not view themselves as being quote-unquote religious at this time. They may not necessarily view things the way that we view them in the Nation of Islam, but he extracts, as Allah did in the triple darkness, he extracts from these materials, study materials, in terms of what Booker T. Washington taught, and now presenting it as something new to our people, And we see our people, when being exposed to this knowledge, now getting excited about it. These are concepts. These are ideas that have been shared for such a long time. But now, because they're being presented in a particular way that are digestible to our people and presented in a modern context, now many of our people are beginning to really see the light.
Beautiful, beautiful. Brother David, do you have another talking point, sir?
Well, I have, you know, definitely many that stood out to me from the broadcast. And, you know, I, like many, I'm a member of the BarCon Twitter army, so I definitely posted them. But
right.
I think the most important thing that we have to get over to our people, and maybe we have not spent enough time talking about this. I know we've talked about it and it has been mentioned somewhat, but this moral change that has to happen among us, because these are the things that will simply not be corrected just with an economic thrust if there's not some moral component to it. And when the minister did the Savior's Day address, he made that point very, very clear. What does that mean for us as the Nation of Islam in terms of picking up the restrictive law? And if you look at the speech he gave in Charlotte, which he rebroadcast as the time of what must be done, he lifted up the book, The Restrictive Law is Our Success. Restrictive Law of Islam is Our Success. There's a method and a way to introduce righteousness to our people. And usually the best example is to be an example. And so if we start with that imposed upon ourselves and start being thrifty, because in many respects, many of us have become bougie Muslims, where the minister has worked so hard and done so much for us, all we had to worry about is what hotel we're going to stay in. And we have to be real soldiers and be willing to sacrifice like we, some of us used to do. Believe that. There's a scripture that I love. It's when in the second chapter of Revelations, when it talks about the synagogue of Satan, in the beginning of that chapter, it says that God has one thing against us, is that we don't do the things we used to do. And so we have to return to our first love, where it wasn't about, you know, hanging out in the hotel lobby. It was about eight brothers in a hotel room at the event eating, you know, fish salad sandwiches, going the whole post and get the job done. And military culture, that soldier culture, that sacrifice culture, where the sisters understand that the man has to do, he has to do the job. He has to get out with the paper. We got to get out and push. And the man got to be able to provide. We have to, you know, we have to have our do for self on. And so these are the things that we have to pick up as a community. And you watch, it won't be hard to get the brother to put the cigarette down. It won't be hard to get them to live the life of a Muslim, because they'll see the blessings from an Islamic life. When we do it together in unity and the love comes in the house, will become magnetic and irresistible.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Brother David. Brother Derek, take 2 minutes, sir. Give us a closing statement, sir. Just whatever comes to your mind, whatever comes from your heart, sir.
Yes. Let me just say praise be to Allah for this broadcast. Thank you, and thank you for having me. The last thing I'd like to say as it relates to the economic blueprint is that we have to remember what it is that brought the dry bones in the valley together. It was not the word. It was the winds. And the winds represent trouble. You know, statistics just came out a few weeks ago that 1 out of 3 black men will see prison in their lifetime if current incarceration trends don't change. 1 out of 6 Latinos will see prison, and 1 out of 17 white males will see prison. When we go into the community with the economic blueprint, we have to present it as the solution to these problems. Why are young men going to jail? Because they're selling drugs and committing foolish crimes trying to make money. And the economic blueprint is the way for us to do it legally, lawfully, and unity, that we might empower ourselves. So I would say that in presenting it, we have to also present the painlessness. See, the Holy Quran teaches us that Allah desires ease for us. So the minister has figured out a painless way for us to do this together. But just because it's painless, and I echo the sentiments of my brother, Brother David, it does not mean that we will not have to work hard, hard, hard to make this vision a reality. So I thank you again for having us on the show. And to those brothers and sisters who are out there listening, particularly those who are in the nation, let us strap up our boots, put on our gloves, and put our shoulder to the plow to help to push the economic blueprint to that level and that height that it deserves to be, to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, help the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, help Master Farad Muhammad to put us on top of civilization.
Beautiful. Thank you, sir. And thank you, Brother Derek, for being with us tonight, brother. We really appreciate you taking the time out to come and talk to the listening audience tonight.
Thank you,
Brother Eric,
sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Brother Eric, take 1 minute, sir, and give us a closing statement, sir.
Yes, sir. And real quick, we just want to send a prayer out for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for
absolute
peace, recovery and me. And also just reiterating, go to the Economic Blueprint .org, that website works. You won't find no glitches in it like you find with Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, just to continue to say, just keep pushing, brothers and sisters, let's unite, let's love one another, as the Honorable Minister Farrakhan tweeted out to us the other day, let's build our brotherhood, let's build our sisterhood, in that we are absolutely a one people.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Eric, for coming out, sir. We still got some meetings to make, you and I, brother, so we can get things happening.
I'll call you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. Brother Tony, sir, brother, thank you again, brother. You know, I know you've been busy and doing a lot. And I know, brother, so I try not to bother you too much, but I had to have you on,
no
brother. We hadn't had you in a while, brother. And so thank you again for coming out, sir. Go on and give us something from the heart, sir. Just talk to the listening audience, if you would.
I just want to say it's an honor and a pleasure to be among a distinguished panel of brothers that have committed themselves to this mission in such a wonderful way. I know Brother Eric. I think I've met Brother Derek before, but I know of his work, and he does wonderful, wonderful work. Likewise, and of course, I know Brother David. It's just an honor and a pleasure to be on this panel. And let's continue to strive to be brothers to one another and sisters to one another, and continue this mighty work. Prophet Muhammad said, "You will not believe until you want for your brother," and some translations are, "you love for your brother what you love for yourself." And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad echoes those words in message to the black man. So we will not truly fulfill Master Farad Muhammad's vision until we start putting that into practice. And the more that we commit ourselves to this work, the more that we will grow and the more that we will love, fall in love with one another and want the very best for one another. We are taught in the Nation of Islam to accept our own and be ourselves. We teach this to our brothers, and we have to remember that we are their own, and we are in a position of responsibility to teach our brothers and sisters properly. And it is only through love that really the greatest divine force, according to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the greatest creative force in the universe, that we will be able to establish a nation for our own through that very powerful force called love. And thank you, Brother Jihad, for this opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Brother David, what say you, sir? You can close us out tonight, sir. Give us a minute or two on a talking point or just something from the heart, sir.
I just think that it's beautiful to be a member of the Nation of Islam at a time when our faith is being tested. And we passed one test just in Tuskegee a weekend ago. And we pray for the speedy recovery of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because, you know, having him among us is grace and mercy. we know when that eventual moment comes when he has to go and return to see the Father, we have big work to do before then and after that moment. And it's our job to get busy doing the work now, so when he returns, he finds us doing just that.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, Brother David, for coming out again tonight, sir. I wish we could have had more time with the first half because I'm really, brother, I really want to see this, the universality of Islam for all of our people. And so we'll have this conversation again, brother, because our hope is not inside of America. Our hope is inside the bosom of Master Farad Muhammad and the Eternal Leader and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So we already know we have the solution. We just have to bring it out. And I want to thank you, brother, for coming tonight. And we'll have this conversation again, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
All praise be to Allah. Wa alaikum salam. Brother Kareem, let's ride, soldier. Well, this is our last show from Atlanta, Georgia. We're heading to our new location, Phoenix, Arizona. We want to thank all of our guests for coming out tonight. Student Minister Eric Muhammad, Student Assistant Minister Tony Muhammad, Student Assistant Minister David Muhammad, and brother from the Ministry of Defense, brother Derek Muhammad. Also, don't forget next Saturday, 6 o'clock, CST, the time and what must be done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Just go to www.noi.org. Also on Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time, the Nation of Islam webcast from Mosque Mariam at www.noi.org. On behalf of the believer community and the supporters of the Nation of Islam from around the world, may Allah continue to heal our leader, teacher, and guide, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Original salute to our Supreme Captain Mustafa Farrakhan. Let's support the leadership that supports us. www.economicblueprint.org. We can do this together, everyone. Let's go and build our own reality. We don't have to beg nobody. This is our day to come up and build a nation and build our own reality for ourselves. For the soldiers of Islam, let us build this one mighty brotherhood. The black, brown, Native American, Asians alike, let us go and help the Eternal Leader and his colleagues for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. May Allah grant us the light of understanding as I leave you. Allahu Akbar.
Assalamu
alaikum.